views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. I'm so glad you're joining us here today on the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area. You might be listening on WBLQ AM 1230 radio in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York on one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. Or if you're not listening live, you might be listening in the archives on ChristineUpchurch.com. But wherever and whenever you're listening, I'm so glad you're joining us here. And I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio who does his magic so you can hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hi there. Good day, Christine. I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. And you look spry as always.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, whether I sleep or not.
I don't know how you pull it off, but you do just fine.
Thank goodness for makeup. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
You don't need.
And, you know, it's funny because we talk about all sorts of subjects on this program, and our goal is to help you on your journey. And I know for each and every one of us on our journeys, we come up with goals. We're goal-setting kind of people. We're in a goal-setting culture. And yet oftentimes we don't achieve our goals, and we are going to be talking about manifestation of our goals and aspects of that from a different angle than you're used to looking at. Today we're going to be talking to Matthew Ferry. Let's tell you what he's not first. He's not your typical author. He's not your typical speaker. He's not your typical coach. What he is a revealer, an illuminator, an awakener whose point of view creates instant transformation in people's lives. He's a global thought leader in personal transformation, and he's known for his unorthodox approach, which is one of the things I appreciate about him. He's an author of powerful books and life-changing training programs, including The Mental Journey to Millions, Ridiculous Bliss, I like that, and Transforming Fear into Action. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Matthew Ferry. Hi, Matthew.
Hello, Christine. Thank you for having me. Hello, Benny.
And, you know, it's Benny stepped out for a moment here. He's multitasking as he normally does. You know, Matthew, so many of us want to manifest all sorts of things in our lives. And so what we often do is we come up with goals. And you've got a slightly different kind of perspective about it. But what do people typically do when they decide they want to create something in their lives?
Well, I think first of all of us are creators. We think, oh, I want to have a house. I want to get a car. I want to start a family. I want to get better at my job. I want to take it to the next level. Uh-huh. So we naturally say, ah, okay, here's the new thing that I'm going after. We stick a target out there, and then we start pushing for it.
Right.
And I say, you know, most of the time, people are able to accomplish the relatively easy ones, but the big ones seem to be a big challenge. And I don't know about you, but it seems like we get addicted to setting the big ones.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we are like, we focus on our imagination, that end goal, and, you know, the really big stuff. So, you know, what's wrong with taking that approach?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but here's what I've noticed over the years. My objective is to assist people in getting into a quiet mind state. And when their mind goes quiet and their imagination is free, they're able to set goals that are actually in line with who they are. But you know what, Christine, when I meet people, they're often in this place where they think, if I achieve this goal, then I'm finally going to be happy, and I'm finally going to be satisfied, and I'm finally going to feel vindicated because I told people this is what I want.
You know, I'll be happy when, fill in the blank, yes.
That's right. Exactly. So, you know, most of the time when we set goals, we're not even quite aware that there's an unconscious motive to fill some void inside of us. And, you know, unfortunately, you can't fill it that way.
Mm-hmm. So how should we go about manifesting our desires then?
I tend to look at it in a completely different way.
Okay.
So if I'm working with someone, I'm going to ask them, you know, what are we trying to accomplish? And we'll use three questions, and I'd love for our listener to use these three questions for themselves. Let's say I decide I want to spend my life traveling. It's a very common thing that people say. I want to make enough money so that I can spend my life traveling.
Right.
Okay, fantastic. The first question you have to ask yourself is, what's important about traveling for you? And then you ask yourself, well, how is that important? And you literally start to dig in on yourself. So, you know, you might say, what's important about traveling for you? And then you say to yourself, gosh, I just want to have some incredible new experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, well, how's that important to you? And then you might say to yourself, well, you know, those new experiences, I have such a boring life, and, you know, I'm sort of stuck in this rut, and I'd really like to get out of this rut. And then you have a third question that you ask, which is you get yourself to sort of the highest level of your experience. Ultimately, what will all of that stuff do for you?
Right.
And typically, Christine, people say things like this, I'll just be happy.
Uh-huh.
I'll feel good.
Right, right.
And what I've found is if you'll skip all of the goal setting and go directly to that objective and only work on that objective, you end up doing all kinds of great, fun things. You accomplish a lot, but you're in a state of satisfaction now versus someday in the future when all the conditions are correct.
Right. So let's go back to this example of, you know, saying, I want to travel. So let's say that this person, instead of going about it the way you're suggesting, instead it's like, okay, that's gonna fill that void. They go and they travel and they have a wonderful experience. And then what?
I think it's more like this. We say, I want to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we work and 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 we hopefully we save up some money and we save up some time and we get out and we travel. And because we were not aware of what we were really trying to experience, which was, I wanted to feel good. I wanted to feel like I'm experiencing new things. I wanted to get out of the doldrums. I wanted to go and have new experiences. But if we're spending 50 weeks of doldrum and boredom and grind to have 2 weeks of new and interesting. That new and interesting, while it's a nice buzz in the moment, there isn't a fulfillment in the rest of the 50 weeks. The better thing to do is to identify what you're committed to.
Yes.
What do you really want? You want to have these new and interesting experiences.
So
you start to plan and take action to do it even in the smallest amount.
Okay.
Right? Can you just take a road trip?
Yeah. So it seems to me like, you know, if you've got this perspective that traveling is going to make you happy, and you talk about a road trip. So instead of, like, let's just take this example again. So say, for instance, that I'm feeling like I really want to go to Europe because that's going to make me feel better, you know, and it's going to be new and interesting. But I realize that I just want new and interesting and, you know, to be more engaged in my life. So, okay, so on the weekend I decide, oh, I'm going to go check out a new park, you know, that's about a 2-hour drive away. And you know, I'm going to have a friend, you know, come with me. And so that's new and interesting, something you haven't done before. So what you're saying is little things like that can really fulfill you as opposed to just waiting for that big goal.
And if you take it a step farther, what we really want is to have a great life. And almost every goal we set is about having a great life. And the issue with the goal setting in general is that we think that we're going to have the great life someday in the future once all the conditions have changed. And the game that I ask people to play is, wow, how can we lower the bar right now? How can we get the bar so low that you're actually experiencing the thing that you think this travel will give you, but you're experiencing it on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, so that you're being satisfied now rather than later?
So, You know, Matthew, I think about sort of deconstructing this through these three questions. And it seems to me that you could have a lot illuminated about your life that you're not satisfied with. What do you say to people who sort of go through this process and realize that, yes, what they want is, for instance, as you were saying before, to have new and interesting experiences, and they're in this doldrum of a job. Does this process force people to kind of make different decisions about their life?
Oftentimes it does. And the question becomes, can you get through the insanity of the drunk monkey in your head? Can you start to see that the drunk monkey in your head isn't interested in you being a happy, fulfilled person? Uh-huh. It's interested in you surviving, looking good, being smart, uh-huh. showing the world how amazing you are so that you can be included, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Part of the process is you and I stepping back. We ask the questions, then we begin to examine what is causing my dissatisfaction in the first place.
Right.
So it's a little different take on the process. But we start with a goal. The goal will probably lead us down that path.
Right. Okay. So tell me a little bit more about the drunk monkey, because I think that many of us don't recognize that we have a very active drunk monkey within us.
Well, the drunk monkey is a little nickname that I made up for my mind, I don't know, 25 years ago or something like that. And I remember one of my teachers saying, you know, your mind is like a monkey. And I thought, ooh, monkey mind. That's cool, right? Very Eastern.
Right.
But back then I was young and I was partying like crazy, and I thought, you know what? My mind's not like a normal monkey. My mind is a wasted, drunk, obnoxious monkey. And I started calling it the drunk monkey in my head, and you know, it's not grammatically correct, but it stuck.
Right, right.
And now it's sorta synonymous with the work that I do. But the drunk monkey is really just the negative self-talk in our head, and it's the chatter about, you know, it shouldn't be this way, and why are they doing that, and how come I'm not getting what I want, and it's the antagonizing voice in our head, it's the judgment of other people, and ultimately, it's biological. This is the thing that people don't realize, it's just biology.
In what way?
Meaning, its job is like the CIA of your body. So over time, but the idea of self-talk is nothing more than your body trying to assess what's going on out there in the world and then guide the body in a particular direction away from pain and towards pleasure.
Uh-huh.
So whereas a dog might go over and gobble something up, we will look at the thing and have a conversation with ourselves about it.
Right.
So it's part of our survival system. The talking in your head is not relevant. It's not important. It's not even valuable. And when you learn to see it for what it is, all of a sudden, the motivation for it to talk begins to diminish. Your mind goes quiet. Your creativity explodes. Your resourcefulness is incredible. It's a very amazing state.
I love this. We have to go to a quick break, but when we return, Matthew, I'm going to want you to talk about the steps we can take to quiet that drunk monkey and become more empowered to live happier, more fulfilled lives. More with Matthew Ferry here in just a few moments.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
The goal for the Art of Powerful Living Radio is to inspire every human to live lives that are rich, fulfilling, on purpose, and fun. This hit show with Robert Schoenfeld is a fresh approach to boldly living our lives with creativity, courage, patience, wisdom, love, and power. Join Robert every month with Dr. Pat Vasily for the Art of Powerful Living Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Matthew, I love the drunk monkey, you know, in the mind kind of thing, that analogy. And it sort of it helps a person to engage differently with that chatter and that mind chatter that just wants to control, wants to impress, wants to judge, and wants to not be judged kind of thing. So how do we step out of that and develop empowering, like, goals for ourselves?
The most important thing is to recognize what the drunk monkey is and why it's talking. And if you do, if you're able to get some distance and get some silence in the mind, start to experience some peace and some flow in your life, then you'll begin to set authentic goals. And that's really the key, being able to set goals that when you go after them, you're satisfied in the going after, and you're satisfied in the fulfillment.
Ooh.
And once they're complete, you think to yourself, boy, that was fun. Now what?
Right.
Rather than, oh, God, okay, well, now I have the car and I'm bored with it,
yes,
which is how
yes.
most people experience their goals. So
I love that, Matthew. I want you to repeat that again about how the satisfaction has to occur at three different times. Can you just repeat that? Because it's really
no
important.
Problem. So it's like this. We quiet our minds by understanding the mechanism of the drunk monkey, the actual functionality. Then when we set goals, we're able to set goals that are authentic. We actually want them. They really do fulfill us. And then what happens is we're fulfilled in the going after, the achieving part. We're fulfilled when it happens. And then at the completion, we say, gosh, that was really fun. Now what? We're satisfied and we're eager for more versus the normal thing, which is I go after it and I'm annoyed the whole time. I don't have it. I don't have it. I don't have it. What's wrong with me? What's wrong? Am I ever going to get it? Ah! And then all of a sudden I get it. I'm like, oh, yay, I have it. It's like a burst of energy.
Right.
And then there's like, okay, now what?
Kind of like sugar, you know, sugar high and then a low.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So the game is to become aware of the mechanism of the drunk monkey, and in doing so, you then gain some control over the thinking in your head, and you aren't antagonized by it.
Mm-hmm. So, Matthew, you know, I think that what you're saying about it's important for us to be satisfied with the going after, what is it telling us if we aren't satisfied with, you know, our process towards a goal?
Kristen and I were just in the process of putting a trip into place for this summer for the kids.
Uh-huh.
And literally at every turn, we were thwarted. And everything was harder than it needed to be. Everything uh-huh. was pushing back on us. Things weren't coming together. And in the past, I know for myself, I would have like doubled my efforts, pushed even harder, mm-hmm. forced it to happen, mm-hmm. done everything I could to turn my life into the reality that I want, which is what the status quo goal setting process or goal achievement process is.
Uh-huh.
And in the end, in the past, what would happen is I would literally go into an incredible state of annoyance and agitation and anger, and I would ruin my experience
mm-hmm.
for weeks on end.
Sure.
And then I'd achieve the goal, and I'd be like, okay, I'm not sure that that was really even worth it.
Uh-huh.
So the difference now is that when it gets hard, I step back and I say, well, what's important about achieving this?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just take it through this little thing with the kids.
Okay.
What's important about achieving this? Well, I said to Kristen, what's important to me is that I want to have time where we're having experiences and we're connecting.
Uh-huh.
And then we said, okay, well, how's that important to you? Well, it's important because I really want to sort of take in this last bit of time that I have with my 16-year-old.
Uh-huh.
I got like this summer and next summer, and then he's out, off to college.
Right.
And I want to really be deeply connected to my kids in an experiential way, doing something that's just not at the house.
Uh-huh.
And then we said, ultimately, what will all that do for you? And ultimately, it was just, it make me feel like I'm being a great dad.
Okay.
And I was like, ah, okay. So then do we need to do this trip in order to accomplish all that? No, we actually don't. What could we do instead that would be more effortless, more graceful, easier to pull off, easier to manage? And all of a sudden, a whole new world of possibilities opened up, and everything just started falling right into place.
Interesting. So what fell into place, if you don't mind my asking? Because I think that we learned from other people's examples.
Yeah. So we decided, you know what, we're not leaving anywhere. We're not driving anywhere. We're not going to book, a hotel. We're not going to book it. We're going to do a staycation. Uh-huh. We're going to enjoy all of these things. We started going and looking at all the different things that we can enjoy right around here.
Uh-huh.
And next thing you know, we've got actually too many activities to fill the days that we want to fill. Like we have more stuff to do, more fun things to do than we even have time to do, which is a terrific place to be.
Uh-huh. And I think about sort of the psychology of this. It's like you got to a place where you stopped the resisting, you know, and of course, you know, the typically I find that whenever I'm pushing against something, it's not meant to be, and as you were saying yourself. And then you got to a place of sort of focusing on what you're really after, and then you came to this place of being more relaxed and going with the flow, which, of
yep.
course, is going to help you to connect with your children even more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it won't. And it's sort of like this. My mind went quiet because now I got connected to what it was that I was actually trying to accomplish.
Uh-huh.
I just want to be. I want to be a good dad who puts fun things together and connects with his kids. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Right.
So do we all need to get on a plane and go somewhere to have that happen? No. Do I want to stay at home all day? I don't want to do that either because they'll end up playing video games all day long.
Uh-huh.
So how do I find that happy medium? And all of a sudden my creativity, my inspiration came through because my mind wasn't antagonizing me saying, get this done or you'll be a bad dad.
Uh-huh. So inherent in the story is this concept that you actually satisfied the drunk monkey in a certain way, right?
Truly. Yeah,
yeah.
Truly.
So why is it important? Is that important? And how do we handle that?
Well, so it's sort of like this. The drunk monkey is wanting to make sure that I am following rules that don't exist.
Okay.
So the drunk monkey believes that to be a good dad, you have these 98 things that you must do on a regular basis. 1, 2, 3, 4. You wake up in the morning. You have a note taped on your forehead from the drunk monkey. Here are the 17 things you're accountable for today that don't make any sense, but because I am genetically programmed to be a person that keeps the children in a certain way, you're going to behave like this.
Uh-huh.
So I have all these rules. And by going into the process of setting the goal, or trying to accomplish it in this particular case, and coming up against the resistance, I was able to step back and start to see, wait a second, it's not an if-then. There are many different options and opportunities. And as soon as I did that, the drunk monkey was able to quiet down because I was becoming aware of its motives. And that's really the key. You have to become aware of its motives.
Right. And you're actually satisfying it in a certain way.
Truly.
Yeah. But not allowing it to control the game.
Yeah, I'm satisfying myself. I'm satisfying my desire to have fun experiences with my kids. I'm recognizing that time is short, that I've got two more summers with the 16-year-old. And I want to put, you know, I want to do a bunch of cool stuff. And then it's like, okay, well, none of this is working. What can we do instead?
Right. Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I also think in terms of, like, I've got a 17-year-old who's between his junior and senior year of high school. And he's not wanting to go on these long trips anymore because it means he has to be away from his friends more. And so I think about, you know, some of these staycations, some of these things are going really close by where you can include one of the friends. I don't know about your kids, but that really satisfies my kids, you know, quite a bit. So to me, that seems like even better solution, you know, if it's a brilliant thing to have done.
Well, we've got pressure. You know, we have pressure because we have all the friends who have the parents who are taking them to Europe, and then they're going to, you know, they're going to Hawaii and they're going to the Bahamas. And, you know what I mean? So there's also these looking good pressures that build up. And being able to catch the drunk monkey doing a what I call a unconscious reflex to try and fit in, to try and look good, to be able to catch it doing that, and then step back and say, what am I really trying to accomplish? And then pushing the drunk monkey aside and accomplishing my objective, not trying to accomplish the objective of looking good as a dad.
Right. Okay, so how do you deal with the drunk monkey of your teenager's mind, for instance, when their friends are going to Hawaii or Europe?
Well, that's a really good question. I think that the important thing for me is, so we haven't engaged it yet, right, because it's the holiday, the staycation is coming up.
Okay.
And so the important thing for me is to constantly be in a place where I'm open to everything that they have to say and all the things that they want to do, and then staying committed to my vision of us spending time connecting. And when they bring up, you know, why aren't we going on a, you know, blah, 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 I would just say, it wasn't in the cards and this is what we're doing, I'm just going to be straight with them.
Yeah.
Going to be straight with them. And, you know, my kids are pretty flexible and easygoing. They do have a dad who has been in a perpetual state of training them to be open, flexible, and reasonable, and, you know, they do the best they can, but, you know, they also don't care as much as I do.
Right, right.
They care about what they care about.
Yeah, and I think, you know, fast forward into the autumn when they're back in school, when they share with some of their friends about their experiences locally, there are probably going to be a lot of kids who say, I've never done that before, so... You know, I figure it will balance out. Even the drunk monkey will be happy to a certain extent.
Exactly right. But here's the key, Christine. You have to know what the unconscious reflexes are. What triggers the drunk monkey into action? If you're unable to spot the drunk monkey being reactive, then you'll think that the drunk monkey is you, and then it's literally like you'll be led around by a leash.
Right.
The drunk monkey's walking you around, and you're the little doggy.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a little backwards there. We have to go to another quick break, but when we return, I'm going to be asking Matthew about how this all relates to the law of attraction. More with Matthew Ferry here in just a few moments.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Isn't it time to put your health first, to give yourself the gift of whole body wellness? What if embracing unconditional love and self-care was the first step to wellness? Could you honor that for yourself? My name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and the author of Rewired Life, A Journey to Untangle Chronic Pain and Endometriosis. In my book, I share how I healed from 17 years of chronic pain and disease. Get your signed copy at audreymichelle.com/book, spelled MICHEL.com/book.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath. To signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is, sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuoS.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW WBLQ. And Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to author, teacher, illuminator, awakener, Matthew Ferry. And we are talking about why your goals don't manifest and what to do about it. Now, Matthew, you've talked about a lot about the drunk monkey. I just love perceiving the mind chatter and the mind wanting to control and, you know, as the drunk monkey. So, and you also talk about sort of getting to the heart of what it is we truly want. How does this relate to the law of attraction?
Well, first of all, I am a huge fan of the idea of the law of attraction, and being a sort of a life scientist, using myself solely as my experiment and then my clients once I figure something out, I've started to discern that the law of attraction might actually be an illusion that we're having. Hmm. And I've started to see, Christine, that while I still think of it like the law of attraction, my perspective has shifted more like this. I notice that me, Matthew, and probably everyone else, I suspect, but I'm just going to take ownership of my perspective, I'm a part of what is manifesting. There are ideas and thoughts and things and perspectives that are in the universal consciousness, and I tend to be tuned to certain kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect you're tuned to certain kind of things.
Right.
And when those things are ready to manifest, oftentimes they come to me and they come into my head, and I don't know where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, if I can find alignment then the thing that I want will start to come about. But what I've sort of given up on is this idea that I think of it and then it comes. Instead, the way that I think about it is that the only reason I'm thinking about it is that it's coming.
Uh-huh, right.
And then I'm tuned to that thing, sort of like the car came about on the planet in, you know, 4, 5, 8, 10 different places all over the planet.
Uh-huh.
The car started to come.
Yes.
And it wasn't like it was that individual's idea. It was like an idea that was coming.
Right. And, you know, one of the things I find so fascinating about this perspective, I actually agree with you, Matthew, about this. But when you hear certain scientists and certain, you know, spiritual people who say that time does not really exist, that everything is happening simultaneously, except, you know, within this perspective, in our human form, it seems linear. It seems like one thing happens after another, as opposed to everything simultaneously. Then it kind of makes sense. It's sort of like you're just, you know, tapping into something that already exists. And then from a human perspective, you know, it's in the future or it's happening now and it hadn't happened before. But from this more global perspective, this level of consciousness, it's everything's already happened.
Yeah. And, you know, while that's a fascinating perspective and people like you and I would love to philosophize about it and appreciate it and savor it and drink it like a wonderful glass of wine, for most people, they're just a lot more pragmatic and practical. And it's sort of like, okay, this law of attraction thing seems a little kooky.
Uh-huh.
I believe in it, but it seems to only work when I'm focusing on dimes and then I find them on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem to work when I focus on $1 million, because I don't find $1 million, I don't create $1 million, $1 million doesn't come.
Uh-huh.
And what I've found is that the issue for people when they get this idea, I would like to have $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
What they're not actually connecting with is what the $1 million means to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to go back to the thing that you just said. The pragmatic and practical application of all things happening at the same time is that the $1 million represents something you're already experiencing.
Ah.
And the game is nothing more than to expand on the experience, to like we were talking about with the wine, it's just like to really savor the wine, to let it roll around in your mouth and touch every one of your taste buds. If we will look at what the $1 million means to us, and then we will find where that already exists in our life and savor it, it begins to expand.
Okay, so this is such an important concept, and I know I've read this in your at least one of your books, and I've heard you speak about this before. Give us an example.
I'll give you an example. One of my Wall Street guys. So I coach a lot of people on Wall Street, and one of my Wall Street guys was incredibly dissatisfied with the job that he was in.
Uh-huh.
And he was experiencing this feeling like, I know that I'm a thought leader, and I know that I have an opinion that counts and that people should listen to me, but nobody listens to me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really cares, and I'm not a part of the conversations. And he thought in his mind, if I'm a real thought leader and people really care about what I mean, what I think, then I could be making literally millions and millions and millions of dollars because investors would want to be giving me their money. But nobody cares what I think, so
right.
Nobody's giving me any money.
Uh-huh.
Is really what it came down to.
Sure.
And what we got connected to is, well, what is that actually, what are you trying to accomplish? And ultimately, what we discovered is that he wants to be creatively engaged. He wants to be talking to people all the time about their ideas, how they see the market, how they see the world, what it means. He wants to be connected to people.
Uh-huh.
And he also wants to be have people regard him well, right? So he wants
right.
people to be like, we think you're amazing. And in his mind, we think you're amazing is, here's all of our money you invested for us. That's
uh-huh.
the meaning that he had created.
Right.
And what we got connected to was, how do we right now start to experience deeper connections with people, more conversations about what they think about the market and where it's going? And what we discovered, Christine, is that this guy spent all of his time trying to prove to people how smart he was.
Oh.
And I don't know if you've ever been around someone like that, but they're pretty annoying.
Yes,
they're
pretty
annoying. And so we got him to stop trying to prove to everyone that he was smart and instead get connected to the idea that he wanted to collaborate.
Okay.
That he wanted to have a conversation.
Uh-huh.
And we just worked on connecting deeply, finding out what people were up to, seeing what was important to them, asking them tons of questions about it, and really honoring and acknowledging and appreciating the people that he was talking to. Well, he did it for about 6 straight months.
Uh-huh.
And literally, in those 6 months, he went from this sort of lowly, mid-level guy to, in his company, he suddenly became like, oh, well, have you asked so-and-so what he thinks, right? And suddenly people are going, what does he think about things?
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, he started to get this status. Next thing you know, he was approached by a man who was starting a new fund. That was 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Today, he's probably making 30 times as much money as he was back then.
Wow.
He is thought of as a thought leader in the industry,
uh-huh.
and the entire thing started by getting connected to, what does he really want?
Yeah.
He wanted to connect with people. So why not do that now and forget about the money and forget about people investing? You just do the thing you want now.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Matthew, this brings up this notion of sort of looking at where we're at right now and not only maybe changing it towards our goal, but actually recognizing that we already have some of that. And I'm going to want to talk to you about that when we return, about how this concept of sort of achieving what we truly want relates to our perception of what we have now. More with Matthew Ferry here in just a few moments. Did you know what you learned in school was wrong, and there is actually a fourth phase of water beyond liquid, vapor, and ice? I know. I too was shocked when I learned this. What makes this new discovery so exciting? In scientific terms, this cutting-edge research explains the energetic potency of water. In practical terms, this missing link of water is now breaking open the floodgates for us to have a more complete understanding of our health, our weather, and the physics of our world. Join researcher, award-winning presenter, and author Professor Gerald Pollack of the University of Washington as he shares new scientific insights about how this fourth phase of water, the sun's energy, and geomagnetism affect our planet and how this affects you at East West Bookshop in Seattle on Saturday, August 5th at 7 p.m. For more information or to register, go to eastwestbookshop.com or call 206-523-3726.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant, Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Matthew, this hour is flying by, and I want to make sure our listeners know how they can connect with you. What's your website and social media and that sort of thing?
MatthewFerry.com, MatthewFerry.com. And if they go there, there's a really cool little download that they can get called 7 Steps to Happiness and Success.
Great. Yeah. And there are plenty of videos that you do as well that are fabulous. And I think I connected with you on Facebook first, and it's like I watched one of your videos and I was enthralled, and I thought, you know, this guy really understands this, you know, about really the law of attraction, the way I perceive it. And it's not the way, you know, a lot of other people perceive it or teach it. And so that's one of the reasons why it's like, I got to get this guy on the show.
Well, I'm glad that we are connected in that way. And yes. I hope that our listeners can get out there and connect with me as well.
Yes. Now, you talk about expanding upon an experience that you're already having, and you touched upon it a little bit, but can you sort of expand upon that idea for our listeners? Because I think it's a really important one.
No problem. Let's go back to my client. Here he was feeling alone, feeling like nobody included him, and he didn't realize that he was being a know-it-all and trying to prove that he was good enough and prove that he was valuable enough to be in conversations. And we flipped it on the ear, and all he really wanted to do was connect deeply with people.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to be engaged in banter and brainstorm and talk about markets, and he wanted to be well-regarded. And what I said to him was, you get what you put out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are teaching or treating other people with regard, it's only natural that it's going to come back to you, but get out there and just start asking questions and stop telling people what you think and start finding out what they think and watch what happens. And he just embraced this idea of experiencing what he thought it was going to be like when he was rich and famous and wealthy and powerful. He mm-hmm. thought, you know, banter and engagement with all kinds of people, but you can do it now, whatever it is that you get this idea, I want to achieve this goal, or this is the future that I would like to create. That is actually happening in your life right now. All you have to do is start to expand on it and do it more.
Mm-hmm. So do you find that sometimes when people have set goals and they go through these 3 questions that you have them ask themselves, that they're already experiencing what they want?
99% of the time you can find the thing that you think the goal will give you in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You'll discover when you ask the question, ultimately, what will all of this do for you? When you ask that question, it typically comes down to, I'll be happy, I'll be fulfilled, I'll be satisfied, I'll have more enjoyment, I'll have more adventure, I'll have more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of stuff that's already creating that for you. But what happens with the mind is this. Like, I have a client, for example, whose job is to solve problems. That's what he does at his company. And what I found is that his problem-solving mindset puts him in a state of dissatisfaction all the time because he sets a new goal.
Uh-huh.
And because he has the new goal, he thinks, since I don't have the goal now, everything is wrong.
Okay.
And I try and help him on a regular basis shift around. Your life is already good now. We get focused on, we do something called GEMS, gratitudes, experiences, and manifestations. Get focused on your GEMS. Because the goal doesn't mean that today is wrong. Uh-huh. Wanting the goal does not prove that today is bad.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about the purpose of gratitude.
I think that it's incredibly valuable. The mind is addicted to what's wrong. Mm-hmm. The mind's job, its actual biological function, is to seek out the things that might harm you or hurt you and move you away from them and seek out the things that will be more pleasurable and give you life or really, if you're being honest, fulfill your genetic potential is actually the positive things that the mind is going after.
Uh-huh.
The mind is not really focused on creativity. It's not focused on satisfaction. It's not focused on appreciation and love and gratitude. Yet, when you focus on those things, the mind starts to go quiet. And to me, that's one of the greatest benefits of using gratitude in your life is that your mind goes quiet and your creativity and your resourcefulness explode.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like through gratitude, you can also be focusing on what you have within that sort of on some level fits with that goal that you're hoping to reach. And so you've got the ability then to expand upon it.
Yeah, anything other than happiness and peace is just a state of mind.
Ah.
And your mind is not a place where peace, joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment are going to exist. Those things exist when you are in a no-mind state. There's no chatter, and you're present to the amazing life that you have or what's going on around you. It's an illusion to think that things are not perfect as they are. The only thing that makes something not perfect is you labeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And the drunk monkey is a labeling machine. And the reason being is, by labeling, it can then pretend like it understands the world and navigate. But if we're being honest, we barely understand anything that's going on around us. We're just kind of stumbling through life.
Right. So what does this mean about varying emotions? Are they part of the drunk monkey?
Yeah, well, think about it in this way. Emotions assume that the body is too stupid to understand the world. So when you have a super positive emotion, it's the body going, yes, more of this, more of this. Come over here, ape, gorilla, uh-huh. Animal, over here, this way. If you're having super negative emotions, it's the body saying, get away, get away, get away.
Mm-hmm.
So do I love positive emotions? Absolutely. Do I do my best to not experience the negative emotions? 100%. But what I find is, when you're in a state of gratitude, you don't have any emotion. And when you don't have any emotion, the only thing that is left is joy.
So what happens if somebody loses a loved one?
The attachment is the thing that brings the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And while it is, I mean, let's just be honest, right? It's almost inhuman to think that I'm not going to have some pain. But I have assisted many of my clients in going through the process much faster by getting connected to the gratitude that they had for the person in their life and the release of the imaginary loss, because there's a loss that they are experiencing that isn't real. It's a loss that's in their mind.
Uh-huh.
And when they're able to step back and go, wait a second, the mind is literally exaggerating a negative future. I don't know if you notice this, but the drunk monkey literally believes that it's psychic and that it can predict the future. I don't know if you notice that or
not.
Yeah,
and it's really negative psychic, too.
It is a really negative psychic. In fact, there was a Harvard study done where they had an iPhone app created and people reported what they were thinking as they were doing different activities. And there was like hundreds of thousands of people reporting. And the scientists actually had an epiphany that they didn't think they were going to have, which is that when the mind is idle, it defaults to the negative.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Okay, we're running out of time here. Matthew, in 30 seconds or less, do you have a last little bit of wisdom for our listeners?
Practice total and complete acceptance of all people in all situations at all times, including yourself. And when you do that, you will release your resistance, you'll go into gratitude, and joy and creativity will be the result.
So that seems like a tall order to accept everything. And I know that that's what many very wise spiritual teachers teach as well. Is there a quick step to sort of like getting there, you know, by somehow
Absolutely.
Avoiding the drunk monkey?
It's not avoiding the drunk monkey. It's recognizing the drunk monkey's function in your life. And when you see it, you can release it.
That makes sense. You know, I'm grateful that you joined us here today, Matthew. And I want to share with our listeners again how they can get in touch with you. It's MatthewFerry.com, MattewFerry.com. Thank you so much, Matthew, for joining us here today.
So glad I got to be on.
And I thank you for joining us here today. And if you're interested in learning more about what it is I do, if you want to read my blogs, want to listen to shows in my archives, go to ChristineUpchurch.com, and you can also find me on Facebook in a couple of different places, Christine Upchurch with no middle name in there, as well as the Christine Upchurch Show. I thank you for joining us here today. Bye.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.